This message is going to be almost entirely in 2 Timothy 2. And we'll start in verse 3 if you'll turn there. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider that what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Okay, these kind of verses kind of speak with what I'm familiar with. I mean, I've been a soldier, I've competed in athletics, and really haven't been a farmer, but I've helped my grandpa farm. When I joined the Marines, I thought what I got myself into that first day. And I had always thought that I'd push myself, in high school and that, but I realized I hadn't. The drill instructors made us to be Marines. And if I'd have been able to do what I could do in the Marines in high school, how much better would I have been? And, you know, failure was just not an option. These instructors with bullet wounds in their legs from Vietnam and that, they had no sympathy for our discomfort. In fact, I think they thrived on it. And I'll tell a couple stories there about discomfort. One was we went out on a march, and I think we had to run and stuff. And, of course, we didn't do it good enough. Doesn't matter if we'd have set a record. And so when we get back, there's a bunch of other platoons there. They say, well, you're going to have to start doing push-ups. Well, so we're starting to do push-ups. And I'm sitting there doing my push-ups, and Clat was just a little in front of me. And as I'm doing them, after a while, I see this big black boot come right in front of my face. I mean, it would just miss me by maybe an inch. And it kicked him right in the ribs. And I didn't know what was going on, but I was doing my push-ups a little faster. And then I hear him tell the recruit that the drill instructor over there saw you had your knees on the ground. He says, we don't do them like the women do them. But everybody around us, we picked it up just a little bit. Just didn't need a boot coming to us. And then we also had a competition amongst the other, platoons in that 1st, 2nd, 3rd battalion. And we had this big ball. I mean, I think it was taller than me. It wouldn't fit in the back of a pickup. It was huge. And they'd set it at the 50-yard line, and you'd have to push it back and forth and try to score on somebody. Well, that's what I was wanting to do. So we all had to get down in a line and do push-ups. And then they was going to pick who was going to make it. Well, I already knew who I'd pick if I was going to do it. And he starts picking all the ones I didn't think. I said, Dan, we can't win with these people. And he picks about 10 of them, and he goes, okay, stop. And he goes, everybody on the ground, you're on the team. So I realized he was just pushing us to, do harder and do it more. He's just picking out the weaklings. When I was a high school athlete, you never wanted to let your team or coach down. We did many times, but you didn't want to. And I remember we were playing Red Oak, and they're a bigger school. They're probably 3-4 times bigger than we were. And they were up around 13 points at halftime. And the Red Oak coach was sure that was it. They were just going to bury us. And our coach, he's telling us what we weren't doing right and everything. And when we came back out, we were hustling, diving for loose balls. And that Red Oak coach was right and wrong. He was wrong because we came out and outscored him the second half. But he was right because we didn't score enough. And we still lost the game. But he came up to our coach and he said that he thought we'd quit, that we wouldn't keep it up. And he was pretty impressed that we didn't. You know, we were at home, too. We didn't want to look too bad. And then we had to travel to Walnut and just say they're a mediocre team would have been pretty generous. They weren't very good. And at halftime, we were up by 2 points. We should have been up by 30. And our coach knew it, and he was pretty hot. There was a lot of yelling and screaming in the locker room. And then when we came back out, they never crossed half court for the first couple minutes because we stole the ball and scoring, beat them bad. But we shouldn't have had to do that. And then on the last one about the farm, you know, working on Grandpa's farm and the crops we harvested just meant that much more to me knowing that I helped on that. I loved working on the farm. I could be on a tractor all day, 10, 12 hours, and go home and do it again the next day. Baling hay, walking beans, shelling corn, feeding the cattle. It's just some of my best memories of my youth. And Grandpa's pretty good on the tractor. I wasn't always. I'd get it stuck or get it in a spot I couldn't get it out of. I know one time where the barn was, there was a tree there, and you had to go around it, and then you could cut back to the left. One day, apparently, I wasn't paying attention. I cut back a little too soon, and I got the disc caught in between the tree. I tried to get it out. I was failing miserably. In fact, I think I was making it worse. So I got down from the tractor and got Grandpa. And he got it out. Took him a few tries, but he got it right out. I didn't make that mistake again. And Grandpa, he was a hardworking farmer all of his life. He was frugal, and he did not use, you know, commercial chemicals or fertilizers. Even if he wanted to, he wouldn't have, because he wouldn't have wanted to pay the money. And besides, he had a teenage boy that could, you know, grandson that could get rid of all the weeds. But he'd rotate his crops, and he did not borrow ever. He always said that the farmers around him were different because they would take money out, and he'd always put money back in. And that was farming 160 acres. He only owned 80 of it, but he farmed his brother's 80. And in his old age, he took care of Grandma. She was on dialysis for 15 years, and he paid for that. Just wrote a check. And he paid $5,000 a month just for himself the last few years in a nursing home. And he just wrote a check every month. Never took a dime from the government. And he still left a sizable inheritance and let him live with satisfaction into his 90s. He said when him and Grandma first got married, all I had was a wagon that we were working on at that time, trying to take nuts and bolts off to repair another wagon, and 10 cents. And that's all he had when they got married. But he knew how to work hard and take care of his family and that as it grew. Sometimes it takes pressure for us to see the potential, and we may be amazed at what we will do when we have no choice. In that second Timothy, if you'll drop down to verse 11, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So if we look down at verse 14, remind them of those things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about the words of the prophet to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to yourself, Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Could any of us today be involved in idle babbling that causes us not to focus on what helps us to fight the battles, win the race, taste the fruits of our labor? Isn't obedience to his word and seeking the kingdom what our main focus should be on? We are looking to the one who gave us Holy Spirit and the many names that point to his omnipotence and sovereignty. Those in the kingdom, or those in the New Testament church, were caught up in the genealogies and over whether the resurrection and day of the Lord had already passed. What might we be caught up in today takes our focus off of what's most important. If you turn to Colossians 2, and we'll read in verse 8. Let's see here. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. A soldier is very focused on training and does not let anything draw his attention away so that he falls out of step with his platoon. While he is in the service, his whole being is focused on pleasing his superior officers. An athlete is totally driven by winning and not on what is going on the sidelines. He's not thinking about the audience, cheerleaders, family and friends who might be watching, or his stats. They are only thinking about not letting down their coach and their teammates. Do we ever consider that we could be letting down our fellow Christians if we did not stay on the course and keep our focus on what really matters? A farmer who is not attentive to his plowing looks back and sees the rows are not straight. He'll be regretful for not making the most of his crops. He must get up every day and work like his success depends on him, because it does. When the hard times come, they will, and they will, where will be our drive, focus, and attention be? Will we be trained to step up and put all of our being into seeking the prize at the end, and not become distracted by how hard life has become? We may think we are pushing ourselves, but when the time of testing comes, we will find that we have just been coasting. We have to have the lamp filled with oil and ready to go when we wake up from our slumber. In the parable of the 10 virgins, all the virgins slumbered and slept. 5 trimmed their lamps and filled them with oil and waited for the bridegroom. When we look at other parts of the world, we know we have not been through anything yet. It takes trials and testing to know what you are made of, and for Jesus, our captain, our coach, and our mentor, to know also. Diligently seek to protect yourself, approved to God, and lay aside anything that might hold you back.